Well, here we are, folks, talking about the global theft of ever, or should I say the global theft of all time. That's what it was actually called. So here we go. We are doing part two, and we are starting with Acts chapter 9, verse 20, 21, and 22. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Now note that this is not what Paul is teaching to us as Gentiles. And this is right after in the middle of Acts 9, just after he comes back from the road and et cetera, et cetera. And he's learned and he's been to the Lord and you know, that kind of a thing. So I think this is tremendously important. This is just me now. When he says here that he is the Son of God, and all that heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came thither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests?" But Saul increased the more in strength. Remember, Saul, he's not Paul yet, Saul. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. So Paul's message to the Jews right away was, listen, folks, this is Christ, which is the risen Savior. This isn't Jesus as he taught in the Jews. This is Christ referring to the risen Savior. Okay, that he taught that he is the Son of God. I personally believe that this is where Paul preached the book of Hebrews. Because Hebrews is to the Jews. And this is the one time where Paul speaks to the Jews. And when you read Hebrews, understanding that Paul is doing this in Acts chapter 9, this is when he's telling the people, the Jewish people, listen, this is the Son of God. This is very Christ. And suddenly, Hebrews makes totally sense why Hebrews was written by Paul. And why. Now, the question is, why is it at the end of all of Paul's books? Because, here we go, if the Jews would have believed Paul, then that would have kicked in the tribulation because they still had to pay for killing Christ. If even in Acts chapters 2 and 3 and 4, et cetera, if they would have believed Peter, that would have taken place, then what Paul taught to the Jews would have been important during the tribulation. But alas, the Jews kill Stephen. Christ himself goes on to Paul, interjects, which had been hidden ages past. This, nobody knew about this. And Christ went to the Gentiles by Christ through Paul. So anything that Paul taught to the Jews in Hebrews chapter 9 in the scriptures was set aside until after Paul's ministry, which is when the tribulation begins. The Bible is not chronologically in order, but it is in dispensational order. You've got creation, you've got the law, you've got Christ coming down, you've got God coming down manifest in the flesh, you've got the Great Commission, Mark chapter 16, early part of Acts 1 through 8. Then you've got Jesus going on to the Gentiles, then the rapture takes place, and we've got the Hebrews, a different doctrine, God is done with the Gentiles, and you got the tribulation at the end. That Bible is dispensationally in correct order. And where did Hebrews fit in? Hebrews fits in right here in Acts chapter 9. That's what I believe. And I'll teach that, without a doubt. Okay, Acts chapter 13, 46 and 47. Then Paul, King James, then Paul and, oh, wait a minute. We have to go back to Acts chapter 9 and see what an NIV says. This is amazing. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. Well, you got that one okay. They had to change it a little bit. But at once he began to preach in the synagogues, King James, straightway he preached Christ. At once, straightway. Why change it? How hard is this to understand? And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues. That he is the Son of God. Well, I forget. They have to change that. They have to change something so they can claim a copyright on their new Bible. Marketing, money, that's all it's about. Okay. King James says, "But all that heard him were amazed," NIV, "and all those who heard him were astonished and asked, isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem?" Raised havoc, King James, "is not this he that destroyed them?" Raising havoc is not near as tough as being destroyed. You know, you got teenagers, they raise havoc sometimes. But do they destroy? Well, some of them do, apparently, but raise havoc is not that big a deal. Okay. And yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews, proving that Jesus is the Messiah. See, the Messiah is the risen Savior. This is very Christ. Now, there's a little clue. I don't think they realize what they're proving when they say Jesus is the Messiah. Yes, Paul taught that he's the Son of God. He is very Christ. He's not the very Christ. He is very Christ. Anyway, raised havoc versus destroyed. Okay, now we get to Acts 13. Then Paul and verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, which is exactly what Paul did in Acts chapter 9, talk to the Jews that he is the Son of God. Okay. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Okay, NIV. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly. No, you didn't just answer them boldly. They waxed bold. They experienced rejection. They experienced the Jews not being interested. So they waxed bold. They became bold. Paul and Barnabas and NIV answered them boldly. It doesn't show any change of heart or change of emphasis or whatever you want to say, change of personal rumph, you know. It was necessary that the word of God, okay. We had to speak the word of God to you first. No, it didn't have to, but Paul and Barnabas knew it was necessary. They didn't have to do that. They just knew it was necessary. Do you have to take out the garbage, kids? Well, you know what? It's necessary that you take it out. If we don't take it out, it's going to stink and bring bugs and ants and da-da-da-da. But do you have to? Well, why do you have to? Because it's necessary. See what they're doing here? It's a theft taking place here. Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy. Do not consider yourselves worthy. It's just not got the punch when you, as compared to you judge yourselves unworthy. You know, Christians would say, oh, I'm not worthy of eternal life. But would you say, I'm unworthy of eternal life? Well, there's a difference there. Consider yourselves worthy. Do not consider yourselves worthy. What better way to say it? Do not consider yourselves worthy. Five letters. Five words. Judge yourselves unworthy. Three words. You just add words to this stuff. Speaking of adding words, you ought to look up these verses in an Amplified Bible. Unbelievable how many words they add to this thing. And they think it's making things simpler in their explanation. You know, how many times does a teenager sit there when mom and dad are chewing on them for about 15, 20 minutes, and the kid's going, oh, I get the point, I get the point. Why didn't the parents just quit hee-hawing around and just tell the kid, you know, what's going on and be done with it? No, but parents have to rub it in and preach and preach and teach and talk and talk and talk. It doesn't do the kids any good for a 15-minute dissertation about why they shouldn't have done what they did. But to just put it simple, to the point, and deal with it, and then it's over? That's the way it ought to be. For this is what the Lord has commanded us, it says here in part of the 46. Okay, now here's what King James, For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Now Mark 16 to the end is what I call, what everybody calls the Great Commission. And why you King James Bible-believing Baptists go to preach the Great Commission is totally beyond me, because after verse 16, you got the signs and you got the wonders and you got the healings and you got the snake bite, all that stuff. So why in the world are you teaching the Great Commission today when you don't teach the rest of it? If you're going to teach Mark 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, etc., then teach it all, either none of it or all of it. It's there for us because that was explaining the Great Commission during Peter. That's fine, during Peter's time. That's fine. But that's not to us today, because if it was, you'd be able to play with snakes and get bit. You'd be able to drink down some poison. And that's what it says there, signs and wonders. And yet you preach that we don't follow signs and wonders. And yet the Great Commission that you preach says you should follow signs and wonders. Unbelievable how brainless you King James Bible-believing people can be. You're just listening to your guru. You're watching him draw paintings, although that's kind of done with, I understand, by now. But you're just not reading your Bible yourself. You're not rightly dividing. You don't understand. You don't get it. Okay, back to this. This is what I call Paul's greater commission. What's that? That Paul is to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldst be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. That's the greater commission. Okay, NIV. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Is there a difference there? Well, listen. Thou shouldst be, let's see here. I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles. Not just a light for the Gentiles, but a light of the Gentiles. What's the difference between of and for? Well, close your eyes and turn off all the music and just pay attention. Just listen to yourself here and think. I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles. A light of the Gentiles. Light of the Gentiles. As compared to a light for the Gentiles. Oh, the Gentiles become the light now. I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles. Paul is the light of the Gentiles. So Paul's not my Savior. No, but he is the light now. Small L, of course. That thou shouldst be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. It's not that he's just bringing salvation now to the Gentiles. He should be for salvation. Well, Paul is not my Savior. No, but Paul is my apostle. Paul is my minister. Paul is my direct contact to the risen Savior for salvation. That's how important Paul is here. And this is why I say the theft of Paul and the teachings of the risen Savior is the greatest global theft of all kind. And it's brought about by all these modern gospels and these NIVs and all these new Bibles and these new pastors and teachers and churches. They have stolen Paul away. They have stolen the teachings of the risen Savior, which affects their salvation. Really, that's where I'm coming from. There's other verses too, but I'm really trying hard, folks that know me. I'm really trying hard not to bunny trail this stuff. We could bunny trail off into the word of truth. Is it the gospel of your salvation? If your NIV is not the gospel, is not the word of truth, as you are soon finding out here, then is it the gospel of your salvation? If you trusted in Jesus Christ through your NIV, then it looks to me like you're trusting in the Antichrist. The devil has tricked you, and when it comes time for the army in Revelation 19, you're going to be on the wrong side because you think you've got salvation. Really? You would go that far? Oh, I tell people, you cannot get stronger King James only than I am. Okay, let's keep going here. Okay, we got so much more to go. This is going to be a long sermon series, I can tell already. Acts chapter 28, verse 28. Here we go. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. Okay, NIV. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. Oh, they will listen? Can you listen and not hear? Or can you hear but not listen? You hear it, but you're not listening. So, King James brings the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles that they will hear it. Oh, they'll hear it all right. But are they listening? They were for a while. They glorified in the fact that they heard what they heard. You see, Romans chapter 11 says that this whole rapture thing will come about because they're going to quit hearing it. Romans 11:22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee, Gentile nation, goodness if thou continue in his goodness. Well, Gentiles, they're not hearing him anymore. They're not listening. Here, they got to hear this stuff. They're not. You know, there's a difference between hear it and listen. Now they're listening, but do they really hear it, or do they hear something but they're not listening? Take your pick, whichever side you want to go. Okay, Acts 28, verse 29. And when he said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. Well, that's still taking place today, but it isn't just the Jews; it's the Christians, quote unquote, that are following the Jewish doctrine, which means they basically are types of Jews. And what goes on today? They reason among themselves that Paul's gospel is wrong, Paul's teachings only is wrong, King James Bible is wrong, and why? Oh, they give tons of reasons. Well, you know the old manuscripts. Well, you know my pastor this. Well, you know the college. It's just great reasoning among themselves that they're going to not listen to Paul. They have no clue what Paul is talking about here when he says, oh, we're going to go on to the Gentiles now. And the Jews left. They departed. They had great reasoning among themselves. Oh, they just must. I bet you they developed some Bible institutes, some colleges to help their reasoning. What does the NIV say? Nothing. It's omitted. They skip verse 29. It's not there. Really? Yeah, it's not there. But what did they take out? The verse that says, and when he had said these words, read verse 28, the Jews departed, and this is so important, and had great reasoning among themselves. See? That's what's going on today. People are reasoning among themselves. Oh, well, keep going. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him. Okay? NIV. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house. Now, what is wrong with saying his own hired house? You got to change the word. And welcomed all who came to see him. No, it says he received all that came unto him. Did he welcome them? I don't know. You don't suppose there were some people that went to Paul that had a little doubt? Did he welcome them in? He received them. He might have been friendly. I don't know. But if you're going to say he welcomed them, then you're saying something else that it doesn't say in King James. And received all that came in into him. Anybody that came to Paul, he received them. Did he welcome them? No, he received them. 31, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. NIV, he proclaimed, there you go again, proclaim versus preaching. Preaching, you get into it. Proclaiming, you stand on a pedestal and you say your stuff, not a big deal. There's a difference there. Preaching the kingdom of God. In the NIV, he proclaimed the kingdom of God, which I'm surprised they didn't change that to kingdom of heaven, but, you know, that's another story. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? No, King James says, which those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. It isn't just about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans through Philemon, that isn't just about Jesus Christ. Those are the things that concern the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are the things that will add to the manner of life as a Christian. Those are the things that the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to learn. It's not just about the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see the point? Those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. And they just say taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. Then it says, King James says, with all confidence, and NIV says, with all boldness. Boldness? Boldness? How about just confidence? Have you ever realized that when you speak with confidence about the Scriptures, people think that you're angry? Or they think that you're being a little too bold. Can you calm down, please? Relax. I'm not shouting. I'm not talking loud. I'm just speaking with confidence. I have no doubt in what I'm saying. King James Bible is the Word of God. It's been preserved. It's that which is perfect. It's come today. I believe that we need to follow Paul's teachings only. Am I shouting? Am I being... No, I'm just confident. I'm very confident about that. And they think I'm being bold. Calm down, Paulson. Relax. You don't need to be so bold about it. Listen, you asked a question, and I just gave you the answer. King James, with all the confidence, I was comfortable with it. I didn't have to say, well, you know, I tend to think towards da-da-da-da. No, you were bold. The Scriptures say you're confident, and they think you're being bold. Calm down, calm down. And it says, King James, no man forbidding him, and NIV says, and without hindrance. I suppose, but what's wrong with saying no man forbidding him? It's just no Bible. Nobody speaks as eloquently and as detailed and exactly as a King James Bible. So, no man forbidding him without hindrance. You don't suppose that some things went on in Paul's life, Romans chapter 7, right? He always had those personal battles. You don't suppose he had those personal battles? That could have hindered him. You think that's possible? Sure, that's possible. So when they say without hindrance, that's not true, according to Romans chapter 7. But when it says no man forbidding him, nobody stopped him. He had difficulties with himself. He had to have hindrances in his life. And it wasn't because he was mad at his wife. That's another teaching for tribulation. First of all, Paul wasn't married. But that stuff about, you know, man, you can't get along with your wife, it's going to hinder your prayers. That's not what Paul teaches. That is not teaching from Jesus Christ. So relax. If you're not getting along with your wife, that isn't the reason God isn't answering your prayer. Don't blame it on her. Anyway, no man forbidding, no man stopped him. He did what he had to do, but he had challenges, I'm sure. Romans chapter 7 verifies that. Okay. How are we doing? This is not, well, we're not going to get to any of these at all today. Acts chapter 17, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Okay, folks, this deserves a sermon all by itself. You hear every day, come to my church and worship with me. Worship. Worship is music, singing praises, etc., etc. That's what they're talking about, okay? Orchestras, instrumentalists, piano players, singers, quartets, all this stuff. And they're worshiping God. Worship leaders, worship teams, come worship with us. Forget the doctrine, just come and worship with us. Talk about a unity. There's where they come up with music is a unity. You go to Daniel chapter 3, verse 5, and you see in verse 10 and 15, some of those verses in there, that they had to bow down and worship Nebuchadnezzar when they hear the sound of all kinds of music. And so, this is me again, this worship, this emphasis on worship, this emphasis on music, all kinds of music in all the different churches, forget your doctrine, just come in and worship with us, is so antichristal. Because it's not the word of God. It's not the unity of the language of the teachings of the risen Savior bringing people together, because that won't bring people together, but the music is bringing them together. So there's this huge element of worship. You can worship God yourself 24/7, just you and Him, but you don't have to stand up in front of 50 people and sing this great song. You don't have to play Rachmaninoff's Prelude in G minor for the offertory. You don't have to do that. That's not the point. That's just bringing people together with music. Now, what's wrong with that? Well, I'll show you what's wrong with that. This is from Paul, Acts chapter 17. Now we're going to go to verse 25. He said, listen. Seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. God is not inside your church, people. God is not inside that building. Okay? So then he says, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. So this, he's not worshipped with men's hands. Are we talking about statues only? No, we're talking about, you can take your hands and you can play music. You can make music. This is from man's hand. You can't worship God that way. Not today. We have a crop duster going by. Okay, so King James, neither is worship. So the King James destroys today's modern worship that's going on. Unbelievable what's going on. Put that together with Daniel chapter 5. Put it together with Ephesians and Colossians. I'm telling you, this worship thing is huge, but it's wrong. You are not worshiping God. You are setting up worship for the Antichrist, just like in Daniel chapter 5. Okay, what does an NIV say here? Neither is worshipped. No, it says, and he is not served. They take away the word worship and put in the word served by human hands, as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. What is this? Everything else instead of all things. It's so the NIV, the modern Bibles are so earthly languaged, and yet the King James Bible, the language is not hard to understand. It's simple. Used to be that fifth graders could understand it because fifth graders used to be able to read. Now most college kids can't understand it because they can barely read. Anyway, just get back to this. They changed worship to served. Let me show here. I got to do one bunny trail. In Corinthians and Ephesians, they take the word melody and they change it to the word music. This is why I have a complete website on sermons that deal with music, because it is a huge issue. You got the King James Bible issue. You've got the Paul risen Savior, Paul's teachings from the risen Savior, only Paul apostle issue, and then you've got music. Music is not just some cool little thing that's going on in church. It's appealing to the flesh. It's appealing to the people to come and worship, and they're worshiping the devil. They're not worshiping God. You want to go to somebody else's church and worship with them? Doesn't matter. You're worshiping the Antichrist. You're worshiping the devil when you do that. Really? You got to be kidding. Sorry. That's scriptural. They take out the word worship and change it to serve. They take out the word melody and change it to music so they can emphasize the rhythm of the music. Okay. back on trail. Acts chapter 19, how are we doing? 24 minutes, okay. Acts chapter 19, verse 27. Here we go. Some more stuff. Do you see the theft that has taken place? These people have modern Bibles. So that not only this, our craft is in danger. These people are upset because Paul has come along and he's preached the truth, and these people have given up their religion. They've given up what comes along with their religions, you know, bracelets and trinkets and statues and T-shirts and CDs and all that stuff. By the way, CDs, there's your music stuff again. People get their doctrine from their music, not from their Bible. Anyway, another bunny trail. So that not only this, our craft is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised. Or if we were to sing it, we would have to sing, should be despised. And her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. Ah, there's that worshiping again. So these guys are upset because Paul's teachings, this King James Bible today, has come along, and it's their craft, their money-making is in danger to be set at naught. I mean, they're not going to make any money anymore. The business is shut down. If everybody got a hold of a King James Bible and believed the King James Bible is the Word of God, these bookstores, these religious thieving bookstores, would run out of business because their whole... Go try to find a King James Bible in a Christian, a religious bookstore. They're probably there, but top shelf behind full of dust or whatever, and they'll steer you to something else. So there's money in this religion. There's money in this worshiping stuff. Okay, so, but Paul's teachings will set at naught their craft. Well, the NIV says, there is danger not only that our trade will lose its good name. How about your whole trade, which Bible calls craft, set at naught? How about if it just dies? How about if you don't make any more money and you have to close? Big difference. Okay, now this is amazing. King James, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised. NIV, but also that the temple of the great goddess Artemis. Artemis? Why do you have to change Diana to Artemis? And I don't see Artemis as a lady, but you know, whatever. Says goddess, but Artemis? Whatever. So they change Diana to Artemis. And then King James should be despised. That goddess, that false teaching, that false god, those false Bibles, those churches, those religions, we are to despise those things. It just says in NIV, shall be discredited. No, I don't just discredit them. I can do that. That's not a problem. But listen, I despise these religions. I despise modern Christianity. I despise, why? Because this modern religion, been there, done that. I've been involved. I was a pastor in it. And I saw what it did to my family. I saw what it did to my friends. I've seen what it's done to the churches. I've seen what it's done to truth. I've seen how it's robbed people of the Word of God, the Word of truth, the gospel of their salvation. I see how it has robbed people of rightly dividing. I see how people have had the truth regarding Paul's teachings robbed. The goodness of God is what Paul talks about, by the way, Romans chapter 2 also. And that goodness of God has been stolen, has been taken away by these modern religions and modern gospel, these Joel Osteens, these Charles Stanleys, all these guys that speak fair words and good speeches, or is it fair speeches and good words? I always get that mixed up. I see what they're doing. They have robbed this world of the truth, and it's destroyed my family. It's destroyed people I care about. And yes, much of it is my fault, because it almost destroyed me. But with confidence, I can say it has not. Don't get mad. I'm not trying to be bold and loud, just with confidence. But to be just discredited? No, I despise it. How can you go to a church? How can you go to a church that doesn't teach the truth? How can you go to a church that worships like it does when you know what the scriptures say about worship? How can you do that? How can you stand and watch these people be lied to and deceived with their friendliness? And the people mean well. They're nice people. Pastor's probably a nice guy, nice wife, the whole spiel. But that's not the point. We are to despise, not the people, but the temple, the modern religion we despise. And then it goes on, King James, it says, and her, meaning Diana, the religion, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. NIV, and the goddess herself, who is worshipped throughout providence of Asia and the world, will be robbed of her divine majesty. No, I'm not trying to rob her of her divine majesty. I'm trying to destroy it, which means you have to say what you have to say to destroy that magnificence. All the stuff that's going on in this world that is wrong, part of this religion, part of the changing of society, and all this stuff based on a false religion. Is it a religion? Yes, humanism is still a religion. This anti-God stuff is still a religion. All the things in the schools, the sports, the magnificent churches, all the things that's going on that people just lift. They'll gear their whole life around 24/7. That stuff needs to be destroyed. Not just robbed from, you know. So, big deal. It is a big deal. It's a huge deal. What do we got coming up here? Well, we got a long one coming up here. I think we're going to take another break, and we are going to move on to part 3. Hope to see you there.